And if you turn in your Bible to the sixth chapter of Luke, the call to worship, Matthew 5 and 1 and 12, is the Beatitudes that we commonly know them. And it's from the Sermon on the Mount. Now I'm going to read you something similar from Luke, and this one is called the Sermon on the Plain. Very, very close, but there are some differences. Let's begin reading Luke chapter 6, verses 17, starting there. And we'll go down to 26. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. And they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did so to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, when you gave this to me, I did not know why. And now I know. And when you took away all the props, I did not know why, but now I know. Father, help us to understand why you gave us these teachings, so we will be ready for you to come. In Jesus' name, amen. The background to this is that Jesus had spent a night of prayer up in the mountain. And before Jesus did anything, he prayed. He took the time to pray and commune with the Father and made sure that he had spent enough time where he prepared himself for the tasks that he always faced. Whatever was coming on to Jesus, whatever next phase came his way, he always preceded it with prayer, earnest prayer. He prepared his heart for what God was requiring of him. God wants us to pray and prepare our hearts for what is coming our way. There is much coming our way, and Jesus took this time to prepare himself. And when he was finished with that, he went down and met the people. And did he start talking and teaching and going, a lot of verbal stuff? No, he went right to work and he began to heal them of their diseases and touch them and their infirmities. He also went and ministered to those who were tormented. Now it says here tormented with unclean spirits, but generally tormented. You know, we are tormented sometimes and we do not know why. Sometimes we're agitated. Sometimes we are anxious and we just feel oppressed. Well, that's torment. We worry about things and we wonder why we're worrying when we have such a wonderful God. It's torment from the evil when he wants to undermine your faith. He wants you not to be ready for when he comes. He wants to tie you down in worry and in care so that you will not be ready when Jesus comes. You understand that it is the adversary's business to trip you up and to get you so involved in so many things that you are not involved in the things of God, and you are not ready and you are not prepared. You don't have to be an unbeliever not to make it. You just have to be a believer who is not aware of what's going on. If you're not ready, you're not going. Simple as that. And why do we worry about such things? And then when he had done all these things, he showed the people his power, he showed his authority, he manifested that, and it said when the multitude sought to touch him for power, the whole multitude sought to touch him for power went up from him, and he healed them all. So nobody in that audience, by the time he got ready to preach or teach to them, they were all well. He made sure that they were ready to listen. So he got them all well, all feeling good, all alert and ready for his message. And then he said, "Blessed are you poor." Now, to the world, that is foolishness. There's nothing blessed about being poor. To the world. And I don't see much merit in it either. In fact, I'd like to try rich on for size, and if it doesn't work out, I can always go back to being poor. Because it's easy to be poor. Do nothing, you'll be poor. Or work as hard as we do sometimes and still be poor, because it's just like banging your head against a wall. It feels so good when we stop. And we seem to keep on doing that, banging and banging and banging and working and working and working and spinning our tires and not getting anywhere and just paying the bills by the skin of our teeth and wondering, when is this all going to end? Blessed are you poor. I'm going to tell you why you are blessed in a few minutes. It says, "For yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now." Now, there's nothing blessed or blessed about being hungry. It hurts. There's a lot of hungry people out there, and they're hurting, and they're malnourished, and nothing looks worse than a malnourished child with a great big extended belly. There's nothing blessed about being hungry. Now, I know in Matthew it says hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the pretty side of it. But what about those that are hungering? Just plain ordinary hunger. He meant that too. And why? I'm going to get to it. You're going to find out why it is blessed to be hungry, why it's blessed to be poor. He says, "For you shall be filled." There's coming a day when you will be filled. "Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Weeping, mourning, loss, bereavement, is not a blessed state. And yet it is something that'll ultimately bring you a blessing. If you wait for it patiently, you will be blessed. "For you shall laugh." Someday. "Blessed are you when men hate you." Oh yeah? What's so nice about being hated? Do you like it? Do you enjoy being hated, being despised, being put down? Uh-uh. Anybody that says they do are lying to you, because it's not a blessed state at all. But there is a but. Jesus has got the but all. He's got it all arranged. He's going to tell you shortly why it is blessed. Even when men hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil. Oh dear me, that's not nice at all. "For the Son of Man's sake." Bear it, because the blessing will come later. "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy." Hard to do. "For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did it to the prophets." Now here's something in Luke that was not in Matthew. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now." And generally they're laughing at us. That's why they're laughing. They said, "Oh, you poor ignorant soul, worshiping God. You shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Oh, I remember when I was seeking God, years ago, I was asking Him to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And there were those round about me that were praying with me, and one would whisper into my ear, "Hold on, hold on, hold on." And in the other ear, somebody else was saying, "Let go, let go, let go." And I said to God, "What am I supposed to do with advice like this? Hold on, hold on, hold on, let go, let go, let go." And He spoke to me. He said, "Hold on to your faith and let go of the world. Hold on to your faith and let go of the world. Do not let anything in this world hold you back, because that is what riches and those that are laughing and all this, when they are, people are so held to this earth by the things they possess. And blessed are the poor, because they got nothing to hold them here." Now, the state of being poor is not a blessed state, but there's hope for the poor that there isn't for the rich who is clinging and holding on to that money for dear life. The things of the world have got to grow strangely dim. We have to let go of the world if we want to inherit eternal life. Now, there is something in Matthew that I like. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You can be as rich as Croesus, rich as Bill Gates, and be poor in spirit and make it into the kingdom of God. You don't have to have a big, long face, and you do not have to be in a state of woe to make it into the kingdom of God. All you have to do is be poor in spirit. Look upon your riches as if they do not belong to you, that they have been given to you to administer by the Lord Himself. It's not your money. It's yours entrusted as a steward. And if you're not attached to it, and you could give it all away in an instant, then blessed are you, because you are poor in spirit, although you may be rich in this world's goods. Understand what I'm talking about. To be poor in spirit is not just to have a mournful attitude, to feel low, to feel down. That's not all what it's all about. Do not be attached to the things of this world. There's so many things we are attached to. And it's not necessarily riches. It's our comfort, our lifestyle, our comfort zones. And a lot of people, they are couch potatoes. And a lot of people are not standing on the promises, they're sitting in the premises. Because we need to break away from convention. We need to understand that we shall inherit eternal life only if we let go of natural life. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Oh, look at this. You see, when Jesus came, He came with the same message. First of all, when He came, it was the same message as John the Baptist. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Didn't say the kingdom of heaven is in your hand. He said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, for us who are preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord, we need to be in heaven in our hearts right now. If our heart is in heaven, then it'll be easy for the Lord to translate us there when He comes. If our heart is on the things of this world and the worries and cares of this life, then how will He ever wrest us away from it? We have the assurance of Jesus that no matter what our circumstance, if we trust in Him, if we allow Him to help us overcome, he that endure unto the end shall be saved. You got to get your bags packed. You're not taking anything with you, by the way, but it's just an expression. You got to get ready to go. You can't have any excessive baggage. There's no carry-ons. You're going to go. You know, Job had to learn that all his riches were not his comfort. His comfort was in God, and he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And he just about was got that. He just about was slain. He lost everything. He had friends who we call today Job's comforters. And his whole family was gone, and his wife turned against him. And he said, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I leave it. The Lord takes, the Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He got it. And then, of course, he was restored to wealth again, but he never forgot the lesson that he learned. When Jesus told the rich young man, sell all you have and give it all to the poor and come and follow me. If the young man had been willing to part with all that, if he'd have said, sure, I'll do that, then maybe Jesus would have said, I'm just testing. You keep your money. We'll put it to good use. You come and follow me. But he didn't. He walked away sorrowing. Why? Because, and he said, it's harder for a rich person to go through the, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard when we have such an attachment for the world to leave it. But I say to you, hold on and let go. Hold on to the promises. Claim them for yourself. Let go of your whatever it is, your secret little sin, the small little thing in your life that keeps you from victory, because it isn't a big thing. You don't have to be kept from victory by a great big sin. It's just a little thing that can keep you from full victory with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayers. He will not listen to me. I must get rid of the iniquity that's in my heart. He goes on, he says, love your enemies. I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. You've got to be in tune with God to do any of those things. You can't do that on your own. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. No, sir. He strikes me, I'm going to run away from him or hit him back. I don't want to get hit in the cheek. But with the indwelling Christ, we can do these things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we will turn the other cheek. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Oh dear. Just as you would want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. There's got to be a difference between them and us. If we look like the world, act like the world, walk like a duck, look like a duck, then what are we? And if we say that we love him and we do not do his commands, we are liars and the truth does not live in us. We can say we are Christians, but if we do not honor his commandments and keep his word, we are liars. We got to be different from the world. It's an attitude adjustment. Jesus came down and said, look at this. Turn your cheek if somebody strikes you. And he says, if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil, is he not? How kind is the Lord to the unthankful and evil, permitting them to go on being unthankful and evil. He pours it out. There are some people out there that have no regard for God, that are so rich in this world's goods with no regard for their fellow man. But he is long-suffering and kind. He wants to change their attitudes. And the only way he can do that, he's got to get a hold of their hearts. The only way to get a hold of some people's heart is through adversity. And sometimes you wonder why things happen, why bad things happen to good people. It is because God is preparing their hearts and removing the affection of the world from their hearts and getting them ready for His coming, or preparing them to die. If you are ready to die, then you are ready to live. If you throw away your life on frivolity, you've thrown away your life. But if you put your life in His hands and say, I give it to You, Lord, do with it what You will. All that is mine is Yours. You've given it to me to be a steward of. Whatever it is that You want me to do, I will do. Then you'll do it. One day, all these people who mourn, those that are hated, those that are being persecuted, those that are poor, those who are hungry, those who are weeping, will be comforted. Because this comfort that God gives us will last for eternity. The things that we have, that we can get in this life, they will give us a little bit of solace. They will make you feel a little better for a little time, but they are going to pass away. We are going to pass away. And only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. We are blessed. This is how to be blessed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths straight up to glory. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us a way and that You have made it simple and clear to us. And we need to let go of the world and follow You. Whatever our affections have been for the things of this world, whether it be a material thing or another person, or envying somebody for a position they have or a lifestyle they have, and wanting and not being thankful for what we do have. Oh Lord, make us more like You. Give us those heavenly attitudes. Oh Lord, help us to lay up treasure in heaven. Help us to bring as many with us as we can possibly recruit. In Jesus' name, amen.